The Ideal Journeyman. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capital, California, with a thought for today. The Ideal Journeyman. Who is the ideal journeyman? That's something that we'd all like to know. In our lives, we've all done apprenticeships. We've all prepared ourselves for where we're going to go and what we felt we wanted to do. And if, like most of us, we didn't really know exactly what we wanted to do, we had an idea. And so we apprenticeshipped in many areas. We apprenticeshipped in areas that we felt were going to be beneficial to us. That's what school is. That's what college is. That's what vocational training is. That's what working with your parents are, working with your father. That's what doing all things that make your life a rich and fulfilling adventure. But when you find an area that you feel you're going to spend your life, that this is an apprenticeship to whatever your life is going to be, it's not always easy. In fact, it's not easy at all. Because we're tempted, we're drawn into many other areas. As I was tempted to be with my dad, who was a building contractor, and a very successful one, and I wanted to work with him, and I wanted to learn the trade, do all the things that were necessary. And so I went to school. I went to the University of Wisconsin, taking courses in industrial engineering, in concrete engineering, in preparation for working for my dad. I studied architecture. I studied all these things because I felt that that would prepare me to work with him. And then I went to work for my dad, as I had through high school and college. And I was always a laborer. Nothing more than a laborer, nothing less. It was not good, not bad, but the pay was good, and it was wonderful working through high school and college, having a nice income. I did everything I was told. They laughed at me because I was the boss's son, and they told me I couldn't do this and couldn't do that, and they played tricks on me, and they did many things to sort of give me a hard time. Actually, as I look at it now, they loved me, and they wanted me to be the very best, and they wanted me to be able to rise to any challenge that might come my way. They wanted me to be able to stand on my own feet and make my own decisions, but they also wanted me to follow directions. They wanted me to follow whatever was the rule, whatever was the program, and do what I was told to do. And being a very obedient type child, I did everything I was told to do. Every single thing in just the way they told me to do it, because I was a willing learner. I was a willing apprentice, and I wanted to know everything I could. And so, then as I did all these things, there was really no place in my father's business for me, because he was the boss. He ran the business, had a AAA rating with Dun & Bradstreet, and it was a fine company, highly recognized, highly appreciated. But my dad did not have the vision to have it be larger, to include more staff, more people working for him, especially not his sons. And my brother Ray, he wanted to work with my dad, and he studied architecture, and he studied various things to do this, but there was no place. There was no place even for a beginner because my dad hadn't built a business of more than one person. So both Ray and I went off on tangents. We went off on studying many other things. And at one point, I said to myself, I want to be an editor of a newspaper. I want to edit newspapers. I love it. I want to do that. I like to write. I like to do that. And so, even though I'd had much college and much university work, I went to the neighbor who was the dean of the Northwestern University School of Journalism, and asked him what four books or what books I should read in preparation for taking over the job as an editor of a newspaper, because I was just about to be assigned to be an editor of a newspaper. I applied for the job, and I got it. And he told me the four books, and they were big fatties. Fatty books on journalism at its peak. Journalism for its daily work. Journalism for its fantastic work. And I was taking over in a weekly journalist, as a weekly newspaper. I was being the editor of a weekly newspaper. And as such, my demands and problems and concerns were similar, but quite different from daily newspaper work. But I read the books. I sat on the roof of my apartment in Chicago, where I was attending at the University of Chicago, and in the theological seminary, and I studied all four of these books. I studied them thoroughly. I read them from cover to cover several times. And when I went to work for the West Dallas Star in Wisconsin as the editor of the paper, he gave me my normal type of activities. I was 26 or 7 years old, and he says, "Okay, you are the editor, and we'll start you out with doing obituaries and wedding announcements." And I thought, wonderful, wonderful. I was too much of a novice not to realize that this was truly the bottom of the rung. So I did everything he asked, exactly like he wanted it. Everything purely and perfectly. And I did a few other things. Whatever came my way, I did it. I did the darkroom activity because I knew that. I did many other things. I did the photography because I knew that. And as it was, I learned more on the job than I ever learned before. But I dedicated myself 100% to being a good apprentice. And being a good apprentice really was not bad for me, because later I would write books, later I'd write other magazines, and I'd own and publish newspapers and magazines around the United States, and I had a great time doing it. But my apprenticeship proved out how well it worked out. And it was a joy to do it, and it was a delight to do it. And I never worried about working. Working was not something I did. I applied myself on my job, and it was always fun. It was always a delightful challenge, always something that uplifted me and gave me status and gave me position in my own thought about myself. And I had lots of fun doing it. I was the apprentice apprentice. And in anything, all of my life from that point on, I became the apprentice in whatever field I went. I went into the field of selling houses, of real estate. And I worked for a real estate office. I took my undergraduate work, your ground training as a real estate salesperson. You had to be licensed by the state. And I did that in no time and applied myself in that and became quite successful in that. And then I thought, well, what the heck, why not become a broker? And a broker is the next step up and a more responsible step, because you're responsible to make sure that you carry out the rules and that whoever works for you in your real estate office carries it out. You cannot have people who are doing things that they shouldn't be doing, because that's your reputation. That's you that's being responded to. So my apprenticeship thoughts and my apprenticeship work was always beneficial, always beneficial. And throughout my life, no matter what I had studied, no matter what I had trained myself in, no matter what I had been apprenticed in, all somehow seemed to fit into the work that I do, into the life that I live, and into the world that I'm in. Nothing was done carelessly. Nothing was done that in the future it did not find a very meaningful place, if at first it appeared like it didn't. But because everything I did well, I did completely, I did happily, I enjoyed my work. I didn't mind long hours. I didn't mind responsibility. I didn't mind doing things that other people left undone. I didn't think a thing about it. I just did it. When they gave me low position on the totem pole in a real estate office and said, "You handle the rentals," I said, "Fine." So I handled the rentals in Corona del Mar on the ocean. And it was a glorious experience. But every person that I handled, I said to him, "You know, with the money you're paying, you could buy this place. You could own it. You got the down payment, you got everything going, and you could have a wonderful time here." And many of those people, I sold the rental that they were going to have to them as a sale. And they were delighted. And they still to this day are delighted. And to this day are friends. To this day, I hear of them and about them and from them. Life goes on. The world is a beautiful experience. All the things that I did, and those are just the surface things. All the things that I did were done first as an apprentice, first with love in my heart, with respect and response, with values, always living tightly, closely to the law, to the principle, to the rules that governed the business that I was in. It was a great experience. It was truly a wonderful experience, an experience that I'll never forget. Being a good apprentice is just one indication of how happily you'll enjoy life. You may not be a multimillionaire, but you will be a happy person doing what you're doing. You will not be a person on a job that you hate. You'll not be a person on a job where you are not liked or where you don't fit. Because if you always train yourself as an apprentice, if you always train yourself to do whatever is necessary to do and do it with love in your heart, joy in your heart, peace in your heart, you will be the best journeyman in the world because you were the ideal apprentice. Being an ideal apprentice is not easy. It takes a lot of humility because you are given the low man on the totem pole jobs. It takes a lot of respect for your fellow worker, understanding that the work that they're doing is very important too. It takes the respect of not feeling superior to your boss, but feel that you would like to work with your boss to make the company one of the most beautiful, successful companies in the world. Being a good apprentice is something that if every person were trained in it, how easy it would be for them to get along in the world. If every person were trained to be a good apprentice, an ideal apprentice, they would make the ideal journeyman. And the journeyman is the man who makes the high wages. But when you go beyond the step of journeyman, you go one step above, and that is to the impossible. Whatever you choose to do, you can do it. As an apprentice, you learn whatever you choose to do or told to do, it can be done. So when you're a journeyman, you do all those things that other people think are impossible. But if you're any kind of journeyman at all, you will not be settled. You will not be saddled with just believing you are what you are. You will look forward to being something far greater than you ever dreamed of being. The journeymen in life are the men who have found a task that touched their heart, that touched their soul, that touched their being, that gave them a feeling of satisfaction. And they work at it with all their love. But you can be sure, a good apprentice stands behind any journeyman. Have a lovely day and think these beautiful thoughts with me. And remember your growing up period too, filled with love and joy and peace and experience of where you stood behind yourself to be the apprentice necessary for the journey ultimately. I love you. I love you.
I love you.